This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the happy hour. It is the very first time that I'm hosting the happy hour here on 96.9. This is Deandra Cartwright. Thank you so much for tuning in and for giving us a chance this very first go around. We're hoping to talk about all the good things that are going on around us in the community. We want to highlight the positivity that's happening that sometimes we don't necessarily hear about on talk radio. And to give voices to those persons that are actually doing the good work that's required in our communities. So, today, as I said, is the very first time that we are on air, and we want to thank Guardian Radio very much for allowing us this opportunity. Don't forget that you can actually tune in online at guardiantalkradio.com. You can give us a call a little later on in the show at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can also watch us on Channel 969 on Cable Bahamas, BTC Flow 612. Follow us on Facebook, The Happy Hour. You can also get us on Twitter. We're going to be streaming across on the website, as I said. This morning, we thought it very important for us to start off with, I don't know if everybody knows, but you should know, this is National Youth Month. October of every year is celebrated as National Youth Month, and there are quite a few activities that are going on that I wanted to really highlight. And so I just asked the folks down at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, the Division of Youth, to say, hey, would you like to come on air just to let the nation know what's going on with young people and what you all have lined up for the month. We're already midway through, so some pretty exciting things have already happened, but there are some good things that are coming up that I think everyone needs to know about. Like, for instance, I believe we're going to be having our first continuous youth parliament, meaning that that will be a sitting body of young people meeting on a regular basis to discuss and decide the future and the present of our country. But I won't get into it. I'm going to go straight into who our guests are and let them introduce themselves, starting with the Assistant Director of Youth, Mr. Rashad Ritchie.
Good afternoon, DeAndre, and good afternoon, Bahamas. It's so wonderful to be here. Celebrating National Youth Month all across the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you for coming. Oh, don't all jump at the same time. Ladies first.
Oh, that's fine. Good afternoon, DeAndre, and good afternoon, Bahamas. My name is Darnie Stewart, and I'm so excited to be here today to just talk about National Youth Month and the things that youth around the country have been doing so far for this month.
Wonderful.
Okay, good afternoon, DeAndre. Good afternoon, Bahamas. My name is Arthur Maycock. It is a pleasure and indeed a privilege to be here, and I'm happy to be here to talk about Youth Month and what it is that the Division of Youth is doing for the rest of Youth Month.
So they have all been very modest in their introductions. Darnique is a National Youth Ambassador, recently installed.
Okay.
And Arthur is a former youth parliamentarian, and he's also very instrumental in the execution team for this inaugural sitting youth parliament. And so both of them are very much involved and very much engaged in what we are doing at the Division of Youth.
Wonderful. So you just said something very important, that we do have a body of youth ambassadors that were recently installed. What does that mean? Who are they? What are they going to be doing?
So the National Youth Ambassadors Program is a long-standing program. It's so interesting that our host is actually also a former youth ambassador. I am a former youth ambassador, and we have a current youth ambassador. And so in this small room, we have three youth ambassadors from three different periods of time in this room. And the National Youth Ambassadors Corps represent the voices of young people across the nation, locally and internationally. I am actually so happy to mention that we have two young persons representing the Bahamas at the Commonwealth Youth Forum and the Commonwealth Youth Council General Assembly happening right now in Apia, Samoa. And they are there with our minister representing the voices of young people and the voices of young people across the 56 nations of the Commonwealth. And so these young persons who are in various sectors of our society, who are involved in different thematic work in climate change, in governance, in the economy, they are very, very bright and talented young people who are advocating for the needs, for opportunities, advocating for the young people of this nation. And so we are very so excited to have them. We have 14. We have them even in high schools. We have three high schools.
Really? High school students?
Yeah, so high school students can also get involved. We have persons who are in university. A number of them have actually already graduated. Many of them have master's degrees. And these are persons who are just amplifying the voices of young people. And we're just so grateful and so excited that they have taken up the mantle and they have come to the forefront to be advocates for change. I mean, it's not often that you see persons take that courage and take that big step to advocate for young people across the nation. And they are doing that, and they're doing an excellent job at it.
Thank you so much. That's a well-rounded summary, I think, of a program that's been around for decades. We're happy to see the reintroduction of our National Youth Ambassadors, who not only represent the youth here on New Providence, but throughout the entire country on specific thematic areas. As the Deputy Director would have just said, we have young people right now in Samoa representing the voice of our future. And I like to say, when we say the future of our young people are the present. They're making those decisions now. And we're grateful to the Ministry of Youth for providing these young people with a platform to be able to get the word out there, but also to back that up with action. And so I guess, may I please put Ms. Darnie on spot? How does it feel to be a National Youth Ambassador, and what exactly are you hoping to do?
Well, DeAndre, it honestly feels great to be a National Youth Ambassador. Like Arthur, myself, I came from being a youth parliamentarian representing both North Abaco and Central and South Abaco. So to jump from being a youth parliamentarian to being an ambassador, that's something great. And I think it's imperative for young people like me to be put in spaces to speak on behalf of young people, other young people around the country, and not just myself. So what we've been doing so far and what I expect to do with platforms such as domestic violence and sustainability, like around family islands. Growing up on a family island, you see, whereas we weren't able to, you know, get certain stuff, very, very small family island. So with this opportunity, I plan to rally for specifically young people on small family islands and even Nassau at large. So with this opportunity, I just plan to, you know, push forward and speak on behalf of them.
And I'm sure they're going to be very happy to have your voice added to their causes, because the reality is that none of us is an island. We must stand together to really draw attention to what's impacting us. And sometimes what doesn't necessarily impact us is impacting another. Right. And we should care about what's going on with our fellow young person, our fellow human. Mm-hmm. And so I feel enlightened and heartened and empowered by you saying that you want to do these things, that you have the experience of being a family islander and knowing just how important these critical issues are, but also about banding together to make something happen. Your journey from a youth parliamentarian to an ambassador, I think, is very important. And I think this is something that we should really talk more about. The plethora of youth programs that are in this country that are accessible to our young people, no matter where you are. Rashad, remind me, but family islanders are eligible to apply for these programs, that they can be selected, and they are, it's fully funded, I believe, these opportunities for the most part. To get down to participate, but also I think the evolution of the youth parliament, we should talk about that. We've been talking about that for decades. Other Caribbean countries have sitting youth parliaments that are continuous. I remember, I believe it's almost 15 years ago at this time, my colleague in Suriname literally had his president, the president of his country, on speed dial, because at the time he was the president of the youth senate.
Wow.
Right? And I'm like, why aren't we doing that in the Bahamas? And so now to hear that it's finally starting, excited about it. Can you tell us more about that? And Arthur, I want you in your experience to tell us, how does that feel and what are you hoping to achieve? So Rashad, give us the breakdown background.
So I'm just so happy that Darren mentioned it, because that's the connection that we have always been trying to make with our program. So starting off as a youth parliamentarian, it doesn't stop there. You can definitely get involved in the variety of programs that we have and take your youth development and your involvement in youth activities to the next level. And so we've always had a national youth parliament. I think we have had almost 26 sittings of national youth parliament. The parliament has always been a one-day sitting, the youth parliament. We meet every October during National Youth Month, and at that time, young people from across the family islands come to New Providence in our national parliament and have their voices heard. And so that happens once a year. Could you imagine? Once a year, you get the opportunity to go in the halls of parliament and have your voices heard. So now we're saying that's just not enough, right? It's just not enough. And so what we're saying is that we're now going to have a sitting youth parliament, and these young persons are going to be in place for a two-year term, and these young persons are going to be debating practically simultaneously whatever our national youth parliament and our members of parliament are debating, and after which they will then present formally to the government their views and opinions and ideas on solutions on that policy issue. And so when we talk about involving young people in the decision-making process, that's not just a tagline, that's not just a saying. We mean business. And so young persons are actually going to be able to not only voice their opinions in parliament, but they're also going to take their views and opinions and present them formally to the government for consideration in whatever policy or program is being debated at the time. Whatever the issues of young people are, they are going to be writing those out, breaking those down, coming up with ideas and solutions, and saying to government, this is an issue affecting young people. We need you guys to deal with it. This is what we think. These are our ideas on how we can address these issues. And so that is very, very critical. And so when we talk about the evolution of parliament, we're moving from one day to an actual sitting parliament. The parliament will also be continuous, meaning that they will move from one agenda right into the next. And so they will continue to meet regularly. This is really historical. What we are doing to try and amplify the voices of young people across this nation. Family Islanders, you are welcome, of course. We are big advocates for being as inclusive as possible and including persons in the Family Islands. The information is available on our Facebook page, Division of U242. It's available at your Family Island Administrator's office. And in several of our Family Islands, we have youth coordinators who work for the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, and so I know that they're on the ground as well, getting the information out and getting persons involved. And so all of the Family Island constituencies will be represented, and they will have the opportunity to come to New Providence and represent their constituency in this sitting National Youth Parliament. And I'll just end by saying that this is also going to take the form of the actual opening of Parliament.
Oh, hold on, with all the pomp and circumstance.
With all of the pomp and circumstance.
So they're shutting down Dawson Square. You're shutting it down. Oh, my goodness.
We will be under the tent.
Okay.
And we're going to go through the process of having the Senate summons the Governor General and speech from the throne.
Okay.
We're also going to have the parliamentarians be sworn in, the senators sworn in, and then the parliament, the MPs will go into the chamber to have their inaugural debate. And so
that sounds so exciting.
Yes,
Mr. Ritchie, let me just say, as a former youth parliamentarian, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
I remember years ago they had something similar, but it only had happened once before. So to know that this is literally going to follow the format of an actual sitting just adds more gravity to the power of youth parliament, right. Honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. But now, also, you've been quite quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need to hear more about your experience. Are you going to be involved in the upcoming? But what did you learn before you get to that? What did you learn during your last time as a youth parliamentarian? What did you do? Did you feel effective?
Well,
speak right into the mic, sir.
Well, to start, I served in youth parliament twice before.
Oh, twice?
Once in 2022, where...
You got to speak directly into that mic.
Mm-hmm. Once in 2022, May, when I met Darnik, and again in October of 2023. And in both of those sittings, those exposed me to parliamentary procedure. It exposed me to the way that government does things. Because growing up on the Family Island, Cat Island, let me just put that in there.
I was just going to say, she don't say Africa. Y'all can hear me say Long Island. So I can need you to call your island name.
Yes, growing up, Family Island spaces are very small.
Very
so
nice.
The only thing that you know is what you hear. And I always heard, government should do this, government should do that. But serving in youth parliament, that is where I actually learned that things take time.
Mm-hmm.
And it exposed me to the policy making process.
Mm-hmm.
It exposed me to the reason why things take time. And
mm-hmm.
I put this in there. Mr. Ritchie was also my professor at one point in time. And during the second time I did youth parliament. And so coupling all of that, I now knew why government takes a lot of time to do
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
because there's 400,000 of us.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 may say the government should do this. Another 10,000 may say the government should do that. Who do we please? And so we have to find some common ground where everyone is, even if they're not entirely pleased, they'll mm-hmm. say, okay, they did something.
Yeah.
No, that is quite powerful, honestly. And I would assume, we all see how... let's find a diplomatic word to use. Mm-hmm. How exciting the House of Assembly can be at times, right? So do you think with the continuous sitting of the Youth Parliament now, having more sessions available to young people to voice their concerns on matters happening in real time, do you think that that will be an effective platform for young people? And how do you think we can reach even more young people outside of those sessions, considering that there are going to be less than 40 of you that are going to be in the House? But how do you reach the others that are on these different family islands that want to tell you their concerns? Because I can imagine the young person on the loose road could tell you right now they've been without consistent water for some time. So what is you as a youth parliamentarian doing? Are you all ready for the smoke? Are you? But before you answer, let me just remind you, you can text us at 422-4796, 422-4796.
Well, to answer that question, Deandra, there are Family Island Youth Parliamentarians, and like Sushi said, more than likely they will be from those islands. Even if they don't live there anymore, they'll be from there.
Right.
And when we leave our homes, we don't lose our connection.
Right.
And so individuals will obviously reach out to us on certain issues, and it will be then that we're able to bring it to the halls of parliament.
Right.
I guess we will then debate on it, and then we will submit after, you know, the process we must follow in terms of research, looking outside and see how other countries would have done what it is that we want to do. We submit it to the government for consideration.
No, that makes sense. So will you be utilizing social media and things like that to build those channels of connection between your constituencies? Because if we see the members of parliament, man, they on Twitter, they on Facebook, they on Instagram, they on TikTok. Like, how are you all going to be? I mean, the young people run those things, so y'all going to have y'all pages and things to keep in contact with your constituents, because really that's what it is. And then on top of that, are you going to be in contact with your member of parliament?
In this day and age, I trust that it will happen, and I wouldn't even say it wouldn't, because more than likely it will.
Let me help Arthur out here.
Okay, here we go.
To follow our page on Instagram, the National Youth Ambassador Corps. Definitely check us out. We post regularly, and stay tuned to the updates that we'll be providing.
But I want
to
help Arthur.
So that means that the parliamentarians can also have these pages too. But
I want to help Arthur out here.
Right? So now make sure I speak directly into the mic. We need to be clear.
I want the entire Bahamas to hear me.
Oh, here you go.
Listen. The gravity of this sitting youth parliament is beyond your imagination.
Listen.
It's never been seen before. These persons will be representatives of their constituency. They will be expected to be in those constituencies, speaking with the young people in those constituencies, attending perhaps schools in those constituencies, looking at the walking routes. Are they safe? You know, is water in the way of young people getting to school in their constituencies? Is there enough pedestrian crossings? What are the issues that really impacting young people in those constituencies? That's what we will want to hear in the National Youth Parliament. Not hocus pocus and all of the other things. We want to hear the real issues. And so they will have a platform as MPs of those areas. They should be connected. And I just want to say here that we're not just putting this group of young people together and putting them out there and asking them to teach themselves how to swim. We have begun training sessions already. We had our first training session on this Thursday past, talking about public policy and how public policy is created and the policy process and all of that, because that's what we will be expecting them to do. Looking at the issues that's affecting young people and then coming up with viable solutions. And, you know, we even said, even if it means that you're recommending putting together a voluntary group of young people to address and deal with the situation, whatever it is, we want to hear your views and opinions on how to address these issues. We, as we do every year, we have courtesy calls with the Prime Minister, a variety of MPs and ministers, and so this year we'll take that even further to ensure that the MPs of each of those constituencies are connected with the members of Parliament of those areas. And so your actual elected MP will be connected with your youth parliamentarian. So that connection will be made, and we'll be expecting them to work hand in hand to address the issues affecting young people in that constituency. And so this is the gravity of this. I mean, if you can just imagine, we are trying to replicate as much as possible what actually happens in our House of Assembly.
We're so looking forward to it. And I think the power, honestly, the enthusiasm, the energy that you all are bringing here, like, our future and our present is in good hands. Now, we have 5 minutes towards our first break, and then we're going to be changing our guests. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the happy hour is going to be showcasing multiple people doing great things. But we really wanted to start off this show strong with the true, one of the biggest reasons of October being one of the best months, which is Youth Month. So we want to know a little bit more about some of the upcoming events so that we can mark our calendars and show our support. The National Youth March was just recently, this weekend passed. We saw all of the photos, all of the energy, but there are so many more activities happening. So we just want to talk a little bit more about that.
So I just want to highlight one of our biggest Hallmark events coming up on the 29th. That's Tuesday, the 29th of October. It's happening at the Evangelistic Temple on Collins Avenue, and it is our National Youth Awards. So we have over 14 categories from volunteerism, community work, youth and governance, youth in the environment, youth in sports, youth in arts and culture. I mean, any category that you can possibly think of, I'm sure that there's a young person that fits that category. We're going to be recognizing them and recognizing their work and contributions at the National Youth Awards. And so mark your calendars, come out and support our young people. We'll definitely be having that event recorded, possibly even live streamed for you to view. And we have submissions from all across the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And so we're just so excited to see what young persons have been doing and to recognize them, celebrate them, and encourage them. We also have, of course, our top three awards, the Prime Minister's Cup Award, the Minister's Cup Award, and the Director's Cup Award. And so we are looking forward to having a wonderful time at the National Youth Awards. Coming up after that, I want to highlight our Youth Leaders Hall of Excellence. This is only our second year. So our Youth Leaders Hall of Excellence will be taking place at Government House. It is a very intimate event, and so it's not open to the public, but we may be able to squeeze a few more persons in to witness this event. That's our Hall of Excellence. So what we're doing is recognizing youth leaders who've been in the trenches for a number of years, who have dedicated their lives to youth development and youth work, who have sacrificed so much, often not receiving any reward or thanks, persons who are just in it for the love of it. And that's happening on November the 7th, and we are going to be celebrating them, recognizing them, and inducting them into the Hall of Excellence. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we talked at length about our National Youth Parliament. That's on November the 4th. And so we had a date change with that one. So those of you that were expecting it to be on November the 8th, I just want to update you. That's actually now going to be on November the 4th. Mm-hmm. And that's happening again in Parliament and Rawson Squares, where we will have the opening. That will be televised on the parliamentary channel. And then the youth representatives will go into the House of Assembly for their first session and debate. And then we'll end our celebrations on November the 9th with the Youth Talent Jam, which is scheduled to take place at the University of the Bahamas Performing Arts Center. And so we have already had submissions for that, and it's expected to be a very exciting and entertaining event. We have submissions in dance, art, young people playing instruments. And so this month is all about highlighting and celebrating the amazing talents, accomplishments of our young people. And so we're just so excited to continue this. And I just want to mention that we're one of the few countries that actually have an entire National Youth Month. Other countries have National Youth Week. Other countries celebrate International Youth Day. But we celebrate for an entire month. And I just want to say thank you to all of our partners who made National Youth Month such a success, to the great team at the Division of Youth and the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, our Minister, Permanent Secretary, all of the other youth groups and organizations who have held events as well, celebrating and recognizing National Youth Month. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We are midway through. We have a few more events to go. And we are just so excited and of course, honored to have been able to celebrate the youth of our nation.
I'm excited. I hope everybody who is listening is also excited, including our listeners from Long Island. Good day to you. And, of course, AFCO, Cat Island. We got to call all of them islands to listen to them. We want to thank the Deputy Director of Youth of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Mr. Rashad Ritchie, our Youth Ambassador, Darnique Stewart. Okay, sorry. People keep giving me different last names these days, so I have to make sure. And Mr. Youth Parliamentarian,
Arthur Maycock.
Thank you all so very much for being here, and we look forward to welcoming you back to talk a little bit more about what you are doing in your individual spaces. Thank you so much. Everyone, stay tuned here to the Happy Hour. We will be returning with some folks from Shakespeare in Paradise. Stay tuned.
get the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. To name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you uninsured and seeking a plan that can give you quality health care at discounted rates? Unlock affordable health care with Doctors Hospital's LAMP. Enjoy unlimited primary care visits, exclusive discounts of up to 20%, and complimentary imaging and nutrition services. Visit doctorscost.com/LAMP to register. Comprehensive, cost-effective wellness starts with LAMP.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Join the party. At Solomon's, we believe that variety is the spice of life. With the introduction of new brands and the arrival of a wider assortment of quality products, even the pickiest of shoppers will want to celebrate. With more variety, you will find everything you need and want when you shop. So join the party today. Shop Solomon's for a wide variety of quality items right at your fingertips.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bella Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy? You don't want Bella hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what are you doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send pictures direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas. Then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody know it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Good day and welcome back to the Happy Hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndre Carter and I'm very excited that you are tuned into the very first show of the Happy Hour where we are showcasing and highlighting people in the community doing great things. We always talk about talk radio being so negative, so we are here to bring the positivity and to show you the positive efforts of people in the community. So today we have with us in studio some of the brilliant minds, the actors, directors of Shakespeare in Paradise that just wrapped up their three-week-long festival. I hope you caught one of those shows. They were fantastic. So before we get into the introductions, we just want to remind you, if you want to call us, you can do so on 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, toll-free at 300-5720. You can also text us at 422-4796. Don't forget to stream stream us on guardiantalkradio.com. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612, Cable Bahamas Channel 969, and also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, The Happy Hour 242. Lady and gentlemen, we'll do a quick round table, starting to my immediate right with Mr. Julian. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes, introduce.
Oh, Julian Reed. And, of course, congratulations to you. And, of course, you and I have a couple of things in common.
Oh, yes.
One, that we both speak Spanish. And yes. Two, we were both in the Foreign Service.
Yes, yes. You are a legend.
Oh, well, I hope for the right reasons.
You know, it's beautiful to see the diversity of our interests outside of our professional careers. It's incredible to see that.
Absolutely.
No, happy to have you here. Madame.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. Hello.
Get that pocket book off the ground.
Yes, hi. I'm Leslie Ellis Tynes. Some people know me as Les Boogie, and I am happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me as your host for the show.
Woo-hoo.
I was just, again, very delighted to have the opportunity to showcase you all. I heard all about some of the matinees that you had done for our students and senior citizens, so just great to get into that. And last but definitely not least, because I think you were also one of the incubator directors, correct me if I'm wrong with how I say that, but please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I was incubated. my name is Jeremy Johnson, but everyone dressed as Jay, so Jay Johnson works.
Okay, great, wonderful. Well, again, thank you so all for being here. Happy to have you. So, can we just talk a bit about what in the world is Shakespeare in Paradise for the persons who may not actually know what that is? It's been around for over two decades at this point. It happens every year, I mean, outside of pandemics, of course, and it brings us such joy to see the arts on stage. But give us a brief history. What in the world is it?
I just love how Jeremy and Julian both pointed to me, and they're like, you take the
plan. Ladies first. I'm a virgin here.
So Shakespeare in Paradise is an international theater festival, basically. And what that means is that there's a concentration on signature Shakespeare plays as well as other smaller plays and theater productions. And over the years, it's evolved. It has it started out when the Dundas was fully operational and we had the luxury of having the Winston V. Saunders Theater at our disposal. Mm-hmm. So most of the larger productions happened there. And throughout, I would say, maybe the last decade, I can't recall the exact year that the Black Box came about, but when the Black Box came about, that offered the Dundas and Ringplay Productions, who runs the Dundas, that offered that company the opportunity to have smaller productions in a smaller, more intimate space. So it basically encompasses, like I said, larger productions, as well as international productions, and then smaller productions, be it local or international. So however you put it, it all just comes together. Usually takes place between September, like the last, the latter part of September into October. And it's over, like I said, a period about 3 weeks. And different productions, both matinees and evening productions. And yeah, I think that's basically it. Does that explain it for you guys?
Yeah, seems to for me, yeah.
Just to piggyback on what Leslie said, what Shakespeare in Paradise has really developed into is now, like you said earlier, an incubator, not only for actors, but directors and writers, with the Short Tales production being introduced.
Yeah.
So now with that, for those that might ask what Short Tales is, that is 10 short original Bohemian plays by new Bohemian writers, and oftentimes new directed by beginning directors, and gives actors or persons aspiring to be actors just a chance to execute and stretch their skills in these.
Yeah. This is my first time on the Dundas stage, actually, and really my first
time. Your first time, really?
Yeah, my first time actually on a stage, period, since 1985.
Oh, wow.
When I was in college and played Phyllis Strait in Midsummer Night's Dream. But it was a wonderful experience. And personally, I'm exceptionally grateful to everyone who was involved in that Hamlet 50-50, which it was, mm-hmm. right? Which was a revamping of the original Hamlet, shorter, and changing the roles, more females playing some of the original male roles. And written by Vanessa Morosco of the American Shakespeare Company and Peter Holland, her partner and writing a partner as well. And they were here for two performances, which was amazing to have them here. Really wonderful to have their support. And, you know, like I said, as a first-timer, it was great to have so much support from everyone. It really became like a family afterward. And what got me was being really probably the oldest guy, probably next to Sean Nottage, and I think I got him by a year.
I'm going to tell Sean.
No, he's hearing it. The oldest person in the actual group was how open people were, and to see all the talent that young people have in this country that needs to be fostered. And this is why really people have to give more to the arts, and particularly to the Dundas. Mm-hmm. Because it really is a special place to develop talent in this country, which could only do well for the Bahamas moving forward. Want to thank Philip Burrows, Nicolette Bethel, Aaron Tennille Knowles, and our most wonderful and kind and sweet director, Sarah Burnett. I've never seen anyone in a director's position to be so patient.
Well, Sarah's a gem.
Well, I think, you know, in the arts is very important to have that patience, especially with Shakespeare in Paradise actually having that incubation opportunity for those who may have never set foot on stage, who have may never thought about trying to direct. And the fact that you all have that opportunity, I think it's a brilliant thing that needs to be highlighted for those thinking to get into the arts, mm-hmm. because we want more persons to be interested not only in supporting the arts, but actually getting up there on the stage.
Yes.
But before we get into, well, how do we get that done? I heard that you all had, and I saw it on social media, and I thought we should just bring some more attention to it, mm-hmm. that there were matinees available to school students, and I saw that the Honorable Pierre Glover Roll actually brought attention to senior citizens yes. attending as well. So I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. Well, the matinees is something that has actually been happening since, I believe, the inception of Shakespeare in Paradise. It's always been available to high school students. It's not always as advertised, to be honest, because we want specifically high school students and seniors to be right. able to take advantage of those time slots. But, of course, it is there. It's available. And lately, yes, Pia Glover Roll has been reaching out to her constituents in her community and giving them an opportunity to come out and see at least one or two even throughout the entire Shakespeare in Paradise Festival. So we really, really, truly appreciate her support. We've got photos of her coming, you know, continuously year after year. So we're very grateful to her and her constituents for that. Thank you.
Wonderful. No, I was excited to see that. Now, when we're talking about trying to encourage more younger folks to get into it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the amazing thing is mm-hmm. that the message of Shakespeare really transcends all of the ages.
Yes.
And some of our best matinee performers, audiences, were those school children. Right. I mean, they really got into it.
Oh, wow.
Even though they may not have completely understood all of the language, but they understood what was going down.
Yeah.
And for older people who might remember how we used to carry on in a kung fu movie at the Wolf Road Theater, that's the kind of reaction we were getting from those young students
yeah.
with certain things, you know. And when Hamlet and his mother had it out, I mean, they went crazy, you know.
Yeah. I was really shocked, too, with Merry Regiment, because as I was explaining to Julian, Merry Regiment was the production that was basically a spoof on Shakespeare. It involved some of the female characters of Shakespeare kind of staging a coup, you know what I mean? Like, we're upset because most of his plays are predominantly male. And we shared the stage with Philip Burrows wrote Ralphie's Barbershop. So after our production was an intermission, and then it was Ralphie's Barbershop. And I was very shocked at the way that our students, they came from C.B. Bethel, and forgive me the name of the other school, but they were so engaged. especially when I went backstage, we were done with Mary Regiment, and I was listening to their reactions with Ralphie's Barbershop, and like all of the various nuances, they were gasping. They were like, uh-huh, oh no. Like, they were audibly involved and engaged, and things that I thought that perhaps they may have missed or gone over their heads, none of that. They were full on into it, both of our stories.
Yeah, I would say with the matinees, I don't know the mindset they might have prior to, but it's always refreshing and exciting to see afterwards they're involved. And like Leslie says, they're engaged, they're in the story. So it isn't a matter of them just showing up because the school made us come here.
Yeah.
But they're excited and they're enjoying the production. And then one of the last Mondays, we offered a Q&A sessions where they had a chance to ask questions, and you wouldn't believe the amount of questions you would get. Young people just looking for a way to get involved.
Yeah.
Whether it be persons that want to write or persons that want to act or try and not, or even just watch more.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it was very refreshing to see that engagement and that involvement from the young people.
And can I say, it kind of makes me, it's so sad that the Winston Saunders Theater isn't or hasn't been available all this time, because obviously it houses, like, I don't know, 10 times the amount of people that the Black Box does, because I miss being able to reach out to the number of students that we have over the years. Like, I remember years past having done The Landlord on the big stage, and the way that the children react towards the end, and they get an opportunity to speak with you and ask you questions, and there's just this air of accomplishment that you feel knowing that you touched the lives of the youth and inspired them, and that they could possibly be on the stage in another 5-10 years. Not to say obviously that's not happening with the Black Box.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I wish we could reach more, because the Black Box admittedly is a smaller space. So we really truly miss the Big Dundas. And I hope that's a part of our conversation today. We are trying to bring back and save and revive.
That has to be, Leslie. It's a real shame of the state of the Dundas. And then I remember a couple of years ago, I guess about 10 years ago, we were talking about the National Performing Center of the Arts.
Right.
And where's that?
Oh, right? Have you driven past it recently?
But,
oh, my.
It's such a shame. But anyway.
But the thing is, we're talking about the orange economy, and the orange economy is so many different things.
Yes.
But the theatrical arts is definitely a key part of the orange economy. It's a great way for people who may not be comfortable within themselves learning how to express themselves, either as a director or as an actor. It shows you how to develop a project.
Exactly.
When you think about how, when we were going through rehearsals, we started at day one, and we didn't know where we were or where we were going, and you see it develop and become something very strong and very good.
Exactly.
And very real. This is really an important thing, particularly if you want to keep kids off the streets.
Yes.
The theater is one.
Yeah. And I know for me, this is one of the reasons, too. I've always loved theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, coming back to, you know, the Black Box versus the Dundas and being able to reach more students, it's just as well letting them know that what you see on stage is more than just this performance of us group of actors coming together that day. If you are somebody that has an eye for detail, if you're a person that likes to construct things, there are sets that always need to be built.
Yeah.
You could possibly be really good with your hands in construction and carpentry. You might be an excellent painter. Things and backdrops always need to be painted. We always need props. Props Absolutely. Always need to be sourced or even built, perhaps. There's music involved. We've had original artists, or I should say, we've had local artists over the years create original pieces of music, whether it's in studio or whether it's live, actual music like a band. The possibilities are limitless. Dancers.
Absolutely.
Singers,
sales and
directors, writers, exactly. Mm-hmm. PR, like, the possibilities are endless. When you really think about it, putting on a theater production or a theatrical production or a production of any kind is literally like developing a city or an entire community.
Yeah.
Because you have all of these various elements of these different careers that essentially come together for one sole purpose over a period of weeks or days or maybe even months.
That's very powerful, because I think, you know, as Julian said, it's important to develop the orange economy,
yes,
to show our young people that these opportunities do exist,
yes,
and that it doesn't need to be you on front or center stage, but it's what happens behind the scenes. Because with any great project that occurs, whether it's be in the arts, whether it be in business, wherever it may be, there are multiple persons making it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then what's powerful, a byproduct of it all, is that the black box, we mentioned the black box numerous times during this, is that it becomes a safe haven or home for creatives.
Yeah.
Once persons get involved via, however, whether they're brought along by a friend or just invited to audition, they realize that it's literally a safe space for creatives to be who they want to be and find ways that they could express. Like Leslie said, it might be costume design, it might just be working backstage as a stagehand or what's not, and it develops a relationship where they keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful to the point that where we have done this, kids now, shout out to Mason, where
mm-hmm.
actors literally have kids,
yes,
and their kids grow up,
yes,
in the environment.
Yes.
Well, Nicole's too as well.
Yep.
Oh, I remember when they were literally this high, mm-hmm, and they're now on the stage. I think her son, he's behind the scenes even. I saw him the other day on set, like recording.
Wow.
Stuff. So yeah.
No, it literally is a family.
It's a family.
And a lot
really
of persons are looking for family.
And you get that feeling. You get that feeling.
Good.
Yeah.
This is what I really want people to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, these opportunities exist right here in our little Bahama land, right here on New Providence. And honestly, we may not have the time to get into it today, but you have persons that are involved in Shakespeare in Paradise and theatrical productions right here in this country that have gone all over the world,
uh-huh,
to showcase their talent.
Absolutely.
In these theatrical productions. And they started here.
So many more that can. So many more that
exactly.
can.
Exactly. So you just have to get involved.
So many more that can. You know, just an amazing experience, period. I was going to say something, but I forgot. I'll say it when it comes back.
No, but I actually, as we begin to wind down the last few minutes, can we, if somebody was interested in joining or learning or participating, how can they do that? And then also, I think there's another festival coming up in a few months that I just want us to throw out there. I saw it on the Facebook page. But before we get to that, just if I want to get involved, how can I?
Well, the best way, I've suggested to individuals, to follow Shakespeare in Paradise on both Facebook and Instagram. When auditions come up for productions, they're always posted on those two platforms for absolute certain. Shakespeare in Paradise, all together, no spaces, no caps, all lowercase. Again, on Instagram and Facebook, the auditions would typically be posted for the Shakespeare in Paradise Festival, as I said, which takes place latter part of September into October.
Mm-hmm.
That usually happens in June, July, the auditions for those. And then there's also the rep season, which takes place from January to about May. And
right.
auditions would, you know, often be posted for those as well. So that's a great way to start.
Mm. Awesome. One thing I did want to point out, I remember what that point is.
There you go.
American, the Hamlet 50-50 was the first time when it was performed in the Bahamas. The first time ever being performed outside of the United States.
Oh,
so that's really
wow.
a major statement for SAIP,
yeah.
if you will.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're putting it on the map. I love
and
that.
And the writers were here for that, as I said.
And I just want to say really quickly, too, I know that, and nothing against any of our other avenues to express yourselves creatively or artistically. I know that we are a huge Junkanoo culture, naturally. But I just want to remind people that theater also, it's also a marriage. It's like a cousin. There is creativity, there is expression, and there is art and music and dance and celebration and culture also involved, the same way that you have in Junkanoo. And I just wish that some of the gusto that we, you know, place in other areas could sort of filter into theater in the same ways, because again, same types of love and passion is involved, and it's the same type of creativity that keeps our youth doing wholesome very relevant activities in off the streets.
Just spread the love around, that's all.
Exactly, exactly. And letting persons hear more about this is very important. Now, I think the next up is in January with the opening of the 2025 Ring Play Repertory season that begins January 16th, right?
Yeah, so like Leslie said, just follow the Shakespeare in Paradise on Instagram and Facebook to stay updated with all updates, opportunities to audition, or just opportunities in general, whether these are backhand state or open calls. But before we wrap, Deandra, I just wanted to say that as you guys listen and you can hear our passion, we know that our ultimate goal is not only to perform, but ultimately to save the doneness. Leslie, yes, talk about the big theater where everybody should have, or everybody would have a memory in that theater. Our main goal is to get that reopened and ultimately save it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are inclined or anything to donate or anything, we have an account called Dundas Civic Center with Royal Bank of Canada that you can make donations. I give the account number. Okay, so it is Dundas Civic Center. You can make your checks out to the Dundas Civic Center, and it is at Royal Bank of Canada, account transit 05745, account number 118-1171. I'll repeat it again. Royal Bank of Canada, 05745, account number 118-1171. Or you could call the Dundas box office at 393-3728 or 394-7179 and just find out how you can donate, whether it be with time or monetary donations. But we really appreciate it. I hope you guys get hear the passion and hear the benefits of theater, not only here with us, but just in the entire Bahamas. And just don't let it die.
It'll help you become a better person. It'll bring the best out of you.
Yes.
And I'm happy that you are bringing the best out of everyone listening into this.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us here on the Happy Hour on Guardian Radio 96.9. Thank you, Jeremy, Leslie, Julian, for joining me, DeAndres. Please mark your calendars for our second episode happening next Saturday. Stay tuned for the rest of the lineup here on Guardian Radio on Saturdays. You will have Tele Tastania with Tanya Davis coming up soon.